coming out. Like I said, you did not come out to hear me. You came out to hear the word of the Lord. And hopefully today you will receive something that will fulfill your life, not only today, tomorrow, and throughout the ages. First and foremost, before we get started, take a moment of time, you know, to come in fellowship with the Lord, where we all can be in fellowship. That way that, you know, it would help all of us to give him all the glory, honor, and praise. Just a moment. Amen. Amen. This morning, I would like to start out, and we will come from the book, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 17. We will go through the verses of, or the passages of 11 through 19. Glory, honor, and praise belongs to our God, my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Scripture reading will come from Luke chapter 17, starting off at verse 11. And it reads like this. As it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men. 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. In unison. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. They were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice, glorify God, glorify God. And fell down at his feet. Excuse me. And fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where are the 9? They are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, arise, go thy way. Thy faith has made thee whole. And for a topic, if you want something to hang your hat on or hang your cap on or whatever you hang in today, Jesus healed the 10 lepers. There are times in our life that we all need a healing. And if we're sick, we will pop pills, go to the doctor. Doctor give us a prescription. And he will send us on our way and say, take these pills, and you will be healed. But that's only a temporary healing. Today, hopefully, we can see more of a permanent healing. And it's all or not, it's all... How can I say this? It's not about the miracle that Jesus is giving. It is the message behind the miracle. It is the message behind the miracle. But first, before we, that is kind of like my introduction, but before we get started, I would like to give you a brief history behind the 10 lepers, and there was only one that returned to give glory to God. But we know for a fact, because the Bible says so, that there was 10. There was 10 that was healed. Jesus' face was set on going to Jerusalem, as you can see, because his itinerary says it in verse 11, that he was set on going to Jerusalem. But in order for him to get from his point A to point B, which is Jerusalem, he had to go through the midst of Samaria. He had to go through the middle of it. But if you know like I know, Jews and Samaritans don't get along, according to John chapter 4, the woman at the well, because they have no dealings with each other, and plus there was some type of, the Jews despised. They thought of the Samaritan as repulsive. God's people thought of a Gentile people as repulsive. Have you ever heard of someone in this country thinking like that? Have you ever seen it in this country, someone thinking like that? Thinking that you're repulsive? Are they believers or unbelievers? And that's a key today. That's a key. Faith and trust in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But like I said, on his itinerary, he must go through Samaria. Now, if I give you the history behind the route that they normally take, they would take a long tour around Samaria, because the Jews and the Samaritans doesn't get along. And if you know the history behind it, the Samaritan and the Jews, back in the ancient days, when God decided to move the Israelites out of their homeland because of their covenant breaking, because of their idolatry, because of the blood that they had shed within the land, God moved them out of their homeland. He allowed other nations to come in and conquer the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. If you want to see a glimpse of it, you can turn to 2 Kings chapter 17. Around that, 2 Kings chapter 17, around that 24th verse. Give me a moment. When I get nervous, tongue get dry. So anytime you see Samaritan, you must understand that God had allowed Babylon, allowed different ethnicity group to conquer, to take the place of the Israelites in their homeland, because the Lord God had became so furious with them, he wanted them out of his sight. And that is something that you don't want God to say about you or I. You do not want him to say, I want these people out of my sight. But we see today that nations are being moved from place to place. And that's what the king of Assyria did. He moved different ethnicity group into the promised land. and God allowed it. But there's a little bit more history behind that. When he allowed them to come in, they did not recognize the God that they was beginning to serve. We must recognize the God that we serve, the true God, the living God. We do not recognize idols. We do not serve idols. We do not fear idols. Word fear, reverence. We reverence the Almighty, powerful and living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the living God. It is not a statue. It is not a cross. It is not an object or a candle that you set up every day or every night. We recognize or we fear the living God. We reverence him. We give him all the glory, honor, and praise. And anytime he give us a healing, we jump up for joy and say, Lord, Lord, thank you, God. Glory to God. But anyway, God had allowed these people to come in, and they did not recognize the true and living God. Let me finish up the story. And what happened to them was that God sent lions into the area, and the lions attacked them. But the people had enough sense to realize that they are serving another God. So they asked their leader, the Assyrian king, can you send us one of the Israelite priests into our area? Isn't that something? When you recognize who you're serving and you're in their homeland, that is who you're supposed to serve, that living God. And then when they sent the priest in there, he taught them everything that they need to know. But they was called Samaritans because what they did, my brothers and sisters, they intermarried with the Israelites, and they was called Samaritans. And the true Israelites called them repulsive. Because trust me, when God has a plan for your life, if he says he's going to do it, he's going to do it. And if you read in Jeremiah chapter 29, around that first through the 10th verse, God had always had a plan, just like MJ was giving us the timeline up here early this morning. He gave us a true timeline of what God was trying to do, how God moved things in a place where you think that you want to go, but he'll move you here. And what happened was, when he told the Israelite, he said, you will be gone for 70 years. You will be gone for 70. But I'm going to bring you back. But when you go where you're going, what I want you to do, I want you to be fruitful. And I'm paraphrasing. I want you to be fruitful and multiply. Isn't that what he told Abraham? Isn't that what he told Isaac? Isn't that what he told Jacob? He told them to be fruitful and multiply. I'm going to touch on this for a moment. And I hopefully I won't go down a rabbit trail. Be fruitful and multiply. If you know where I'm going with it, say amen. When you say be fruitful and multiply, and God tell you to be fruitful and multiply, you don't have to worry about the food that you eat. You don't have to worry about how, if you're going to overpopulate the land. The Lord will provide everything that you need. But we have this thing which you call abortion. That's all I'm going to say, and I'm going to get off of it. And we have it today. You have a choice. But the Lord God told us to be fruitful and multiply. That is my off the wagon, all right? But you get the point. We must follow the word of the Lord. But anyway, now you understand how we get a Samaritan. It is that they intermarried with the Israelite, and then they call them Samaritan, and they call them repulsive because they worship different gods. They had all kinds of gods. But if you read, like I said, in 2 Kings chapter 17, around that 24th verse, they'll show you all the types of idol that they worship. Then what happened is this. Jesus was set, his face was set on going through Samaria. He was determined to go through Samaria because, number one, God had a plan. Jesus had a plan. And the Son is going to do the plan of the Father, regardless of what we say or what we do. He had a plan. And as he was going through Samaria, there came upon him 10 men, and they called them lepers. 10 men, and they called them lepers. When Jesus went through, at certain times when he went through Samaria, he was sent out the disciples before him, the 12. I call it an advance party, if you know what I mean. Military terms. He sent out an advance party, the 12, to pave the way for him and let the people know that the Lord is coming. Do you know when the Lord is coming? Can you recognize him when you see him? Is there an advance party here today to set up the things that the Lord needs? Is there an advance party here today to teach the people about Jesus returning? Because his first advent, he came to save man. But the second time he comes, it's going to be to judge man. And MJ talked about that this morning. And I find it kind of ironic that you touched on a few points that gave me ammunition. So, in his first coming, the purpose of him coming and doing all kinds of miracles. One miracle in the Bible, the woman with the issue of blood. And I want you to notice about the miracles that he performed. He never performed them the same. You can't get a handle on him, how he's going to do it. He could speak to you and say you're healed. He could touch you and say you're healed. He can just say, go your way. Show yourself to the priest. And on the way, you immediately heal. My point here is this. You cannot tie him down. You cannot limit him. There's nothing that he cannot do for you. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came not to destroy man, but to save man. I don't know if you remember, as he was going through Samaria, there was rejection in certain villages because there's more than one village in Samaria. There's different cities. But there was one village that rejected him. And in the Bible it says, Luke chapter 9, verse 51 and 52. And I'll go over it for you if you want me to. It says that now it came to pass, when the time came for him to be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Amen. And he sent messengers before him. He sent messengers before his face, and as they went, they entered into a village of Samaria, of a Samaritan, to prepare for him an advance party. But they did not receive him. Rejection. They rejected him. Anyone that reject our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we know that they are condemned already. I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm just telling you the truth. You must believe, as MJ said this morning, you must trust in him And you must have faith in him. Because without faith, he can't do anything for you. So it goes on to say, and as they went, they entered into a village of Samaria and prepared for him. But they did not receive him because his face was set for a journey to Jerusalem. When the Samaritans know that you're getting ready to come through the area, according to King James Bible, it says that when the Samaritans know that you're coming through their land, they know that your face is set, that you determined to go to Jerusalem. No, they would not receive you. It's kind of crazy, but it's, you know, your Messiah is coming through, but it's kind of crazy. But anyway. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, remember now, they're rejecting Jesus, this certain village. James and John saw this, and they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, just as Elijah did? And look at what the Lord and Savior replied. This is his reply. He said, but he turned and rebuked them. A sharp disapproval. A keen disapproval of what they was thinking about. They had the power and they was getting ready to destroy man. That village. And said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men, lies, but to save them. And they went to another village. Shake the dust from your feet. Let it be a testimony against them. That's what we are supposed to do. He did not come to destroy us. The first advent. Or to destroy them, he came to save man life by his preaching and his teaching. And he's a powerful teacher, I can tell you that. So there was a certain village named Sychar in a Samaritan city, and they received Jesus. This is where the Samaritan woman, when Jesus was talking to her at the well, the well, sitting on the well, the well of life, the well of living water that he had to give her because she had been married to several, I think it's five men, and the one that she was living with wasn't her husband. You know the Samaritan woman that I'm talking about. She was missing something in her life. And the well came, Jesus Christ came, and that's what she was missing. Her Messiah, because she said, told him, said there will be one day we know that the Messiah will come. And Jesus told her everything that she needed to know. And she believed him, not by miracles, but she believed him by the way he was teaching her and telling her about herself. And then she had to go out and teach other people, spread it out to the other city in Sychar and let them know that the Messiah is here. But his own people, the Jewish Israelites, did not recognize him when he first came. But she recognized who he was because she needed something. She was tired of going to the well, drinking of that water. She wanted the living water. And once we have Christ in us, then there's more love that we can pour out to other people. Going back to our scripture, verse 12. Then he entered a certain village. There met him 10 men who were lepers. They stood forth. We're going to stay right there for a moment. They stood afar off. What was the purpose of them standing afar off? The law of Moses says that they were supposed to stand afar off, and they were supposed to shout, unclean, unclean. Leviticus 13. Leviticus 14, I'm going there. They were supposed to shout, unclean, unclean. But they stood afar off because leprosy in those days was incurable. And I believe today, even though I'm not going to say the organization, but I believe it's still incurable. But they have medication and a cocktail of medication that you can take. But you have to take them for 12 months. But Jesus said, go your way. And immediately they were clean. Get what I'm saying? It's always good to go to the doctor to check on yourself. But sometimes you need to take the Lord with you. You might not have to take that medicine. But anyway, it goes on to say that the lepers in Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14, the leper had to, Leviticus chapter 13, 45 and 46. I am reading from that area right now. Now the lepers on whom the sore is, his clothes shall be torn. Picture this. Just picture this. His clothes must be torn. He has sores. His head bare. And he shall cover his mustache and cry, unclean, unclean. That's Leviticus 13, 45. And verse 46 said, he shall be unclean all the days he has the sores, he shall be unclean. He is unclean and he shall dwell alone. Listen to that now, because that is key. Because you are separated from family, you're separated from your religion, you're separated from the society. Just remember that. Let that stick for a moment. You are separated from everything that you can come in contact with. Even the ceremonial, spiritual God. Because the law of Moses says that, but I say it's the law of God. Because God gave the law to Moses. But everyone else name it the law of Moses. And I'm not trying to take away from it, but that's something that I looked at when I was reading this particular verse. Because anything that had to be passed down to the Israelite, it went through Moses. Because God would say, Moses, talk to the children of Israel. This is what I want them to do, or this is what I want you to do. You were ceremonially unclean and you had to dwell outside the camp. And this was commanded of the children of Israel for every leper and everyone who were a discharge as well. If you had a discharge, you was defiled. If you touch a corpse, you was defiled. Going on to verse 13. Remember, you are unclean. The lepers are unclean. Unclean, unclean. They are separated from society. They're probably living in cages. Probably living in outside of the camp, living in some type of society that where only lepers live, in caves and things of that nature. and they're separated from their family, friends, religious rights. They can't do that. Today we have that. We can be unclean. COVID-19, we can be unclean. And we are allowed to come into the sanctuary. We are unclean. And the reason why I say that is because one of the Sunday school, I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to step off the path for a moment. I'm going to share this with you. One of the Sunday school students was saying about a month ago, I would say, isn't that like COVID-19? And I said, you know what? She's right. She's exactly right. That's like COVID-19. We're unclean. The whole world is unclean. So how do we get back clean? And I'm going to show you. Just remember, unclean. Verse 13, Luke chapter 17, verse 13. And they lifted up their voice, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy. Have mercy, Jesus. Have mercy. That's what we do when we need a healing. That's what we do when we're sick. That's what we do when we're praying for others. Lord, have mercy on her. Lord, have mercy on my son. Keep your hedge of protection around them. Keep them safe and secure. When we pray for each other that are sick, shut in, not able to do the things that they can today. That's what we do. Corporate prayer. So they lifted up their voice. Leprosy affects the voice as well. That's what I learned from those agencies that we have out there. It affects the voice. And then they call him Master. When you call somebody Master, you're going to do what they say. He's not demanding, but he's going to give a command. Moving on to verse... I don't think I'm going to be able to get through this. Verse 14, it reads, so when he saw them, he said to them, this is a command, go show yourself to the priest. And I want you to put a pin in that. Go show yourself to the priest. Let me stop right there for a moment. What is the purpose of going and showing yourself to the priest? Leviticus chapter 13 tell us that we are supposed to show ourselves to the priest to see if we are healed and see if we have leprosy, to diagnose our ailment and everything, to give us the approval to go back into the community. But there's something else behind this that Jesus is trying to get us to see. Go show yourself to the priest. And as it was, as they went, they were cleansed. 10 men hollered with a loud voice. Because more than likely with leprosy, like I said, it affects your voice. So they all had to come in unison. They all had one common thing in common. They was lepers. They had one thing in common. They were lepers. So they did it in unison. They did it in a corporate type of way. And Jesus... If you go to Leviticus 13, verses 1 through 59, which it is long, it gives you a process of how the priest would diagnose if you're prepared to go back into the community or go back into the sanctuary or go into the synagogue or whatever. And one of them, when he saw that he were healed, return with a loud voice, glorifying God. One out of ten. That's not a good percentage. Not a good percentage at all. So, it doesn't say, but did they not do what Jesus commanded them? But if you're on your way to go to the priest to see if you fall in the line of Leviticus 13 or to be healed, Leviticus 14, where it gives you the process of telling you that you're cleansed, Leviticus 14, why would you want to go to the priest? Because on your way, you notice, immediately you notice that you're cleansed. You're free from bondage. You're healed. And one turned back and gave glory to God, which was a stranger, a Samaritan, the one that everyone called repulsive. God shows no partiality to no man. He does not. He give us the same as he does everybody else. You could be Asian. Let me not go there. You could be any ethnicity group. And if you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he will give you a healing. He will listen to you. But if you're not in fellowship with him, that's the reason Pastor Bob, MJ, and the rest of the group here that has come while Pastor Bob has been out, they said, let us fall in fellowship. You can't pray and be in fellowship and say that God's going to hear your voice. Because there's a scripture in here saying that God does not listen to sinners. If you're a sinner, he does not listen to you. And I guarantee you there's a scripture in it. It's in John. I can't tell you exactly where, but I read it. Let me finish this up. So he turned back and gave glory to God. Immediately, this is coming from Luke chapter 5, 25. Immediately he rose up before them, took up his mat, took up what he had been laying on, and departed to his own house. Now, if you remember this one, this is the paralyzed individual that was let through the roof of one of the houses Jesus was sitting in the midst. They let him down. They had enough faith that they let him down in the midst of Jesus while he was teaching. And Jesus healed him. If I lost you there, I'm going to try to bring you back in. In Luke chapter 5, 25, what I'm trying to tell you, there's a lot of ways that Jesus have healed different people. You remember the guy, it's in Luke chapter 5, 25. You remember the man, he was paralyzed, and his friends took him to see Jesus. They could not get in to see Jesus. So what they did, they had so much faith that they tore the roof down, made a hole in the roof, and the men let him down in the middle of Jesus' teaching. And Jesus said, thy faith has healed you. But he also said that he noticed that the Pharisees perceived in their hearts that Jesus had told him, your sins are forgiven, take up your bed and walk. And then Jesus said, which is easier, your sins are forgiven or take up your mat and walk? So the man did both. His sins were forgiven, and he took up his mat and walked. So what I'm trying to tell you is, faith has a lot to do with what Jesus can do for you. Regardless, if you have no faith, don't look for any type of healing. Then there was another one, the blind man. The blind man. And the thing about all of these healings, once Jesus says it or he touched you, immediately you're healed. Immediately. It's not wait 4 or 5 days, take a few pills or whatever, and you're well. It's immediately. Luke chapter 18, 42. Then Jesus said to him, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and follow him and glorify God. And all the people, when they saw it, gave him praise. Anytime you get a healing, you must give praise. So the point that I'm, in closing, the point that I'm trying to make to everyone today, in our scriptures, my brothers and sisters, in our scriptures today, we've seen multiple things. We have seen ingratitude by the nine. We have seen one grateful, giving glory to God. We have also seen a miracle, or I should say we have read about the miracle. Now, whether you believe in that miracle, that's up to you. I believe it. I believe that Christ can do all things. All things. I believe God can prepare us to eradicate COVID. I think that we all must come in unison. It can't be one and then nine over here. But the purpose of the miracle is not to take your eyes off of Christ. See, we get caught up in the miracles that are being done, but we forget about the message that he's trying to tell us. And the message is, and sometimes it could be so hard because it was so hard. Lord, what are you trying to say? What are you trying to say in this miracle? I fought it weak. Lord, what are you trying to say? I know there's something there, but what are you trying to say? And it was right there in my Bible. Because we read the Bible and we'll go right past it and then come back years later and read it again. Oh, that's what you're trying to say. It wasn't your time yet. But the Lord was trying to say, you must have a spiritual life with him. It's not about the miracle. It's about having a relationship of a spiritual life. Because Christ and Christ alone is the only one that can save you. And that is the truth. So, my brothers and sisters, if you didn't get anything else out of this, just remember, it's not about the miracle. It's about having a relationship and a spiritual life. Not a physical life, but a spiritual life with Christ. Because he dwells in us all. Because we're all believers. And I hope you got something out of today. Let us pray. Most gracious, most heavenly Father, I come to you this morning, dear Lord, and I thank you, dear Lord. Because Lord, you opened my eyes to some things that I didn't even know. You revealed to me this morning, dear Lord, that you are the only true God. But I always known that. But when you read it, it just edifies it. So, Father, I thank you for allowing us to be here this morning. I hope each and every member here received something that was said that they can take with them today, not only today, but every day. And thank you, Father, for revealing to me the things about your miracles. Amen.